Happy Friday. It's the Chris Raby Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. We are off and running. As we get set to talk a little football today, we get set for another weekend, and we are going to visit with a couple of guys to get you set for what's ahead over the next couple of days. Rob Fisher going to join me in just a moment. Rob, of course, part of the Memphis Grizzlies broadcast team and also a host on GrindCityMedia.com. He'll give us a peek behind the curtain of the SEC. What's ahead for the conference? Nick Saban testing positive this week. What does he expect moving forward? All that and more coming up with Rob Fisher. Then Ben Heisler is going to be with us from Sports Illustrated. Give us his thoughts on moving forward in the football world while dealing with the pandemic and teams trying to navigate their way safely around it. Get some daily fantasy picks and more from Ben Heisler. Don't forget that you can always listen to the Chris Raby Show 24/7 at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. If you ever miss an episode, head on over to ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. You can also check us out wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. Hit subscribe and leave us a review. The Chris Raby Show 24/7 at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. You can hit us with a mailbag question. Had a couple of good ones yesterday. We visited with Dan for the entire hour. You can always send me an email, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. So a lot on the docket on this Football Friday. Let's get right to it. All right, let's head to Memphis on the Chris Raby Show on scoopswithdannymac.com to talk a little football on a Football Friday. Lots going on in the SEC, and I think a lot of questions and a lot up in the air with what's going on in the SEC. So we head to one of the foremost sources. It's Rob Fisher of Grind City Media. Of course, you can see him on Grizzlies pregames, postgames, in-games. And also, you can hear him on The Odds Couple on GrindCityMedia.com, where he does a great job with Lang Whitaker, giving out some picks. And really, the new currency in our society in terms of your level of confidence in something should be just called a fish.
That's right. And if I'm wrong, hey, it's just what the numbers said, man. It's not me. You know, it's the trends. The trends are telling you to pick those games.
Robbie Trends.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Nothing, man.
How is the strangest college football SEC fall in the South that you've probably ever experienced going?
Well, it's been good here for the last few weeks once the SEC got cooking, but you know, this weekend kind of brings its own drama and its own problems with a couple of games already being postponed. And you know, you hope Alabama and Georgia are going to play before it's all said and done, and it looks like that's going to happen, so that's good news. But the news about Coach Saban certainly, you know, kind of brings it up even more. So, you know, I hope we get through it. I think the SEC did a good move by having a week off before their championship game to make up games that they might have to. And I think at this point, you know, it's such a fluid situation that you can always move that championship back another week if you have to. So I think that's always possible. But, you know, you just hope you get through it at this point. And, you know, there were five games postponed over the last 2 weeks combined, five games postponed this weekend alone. So you hope it's not going in that direction. But it's been fun. It's been fun. The SEC season should be fun because it's 10 weeks of just conference play. And I think that makes it very exciting.
You know, I was thinking about it the last couple of days as more of these reports come out of teams and individuals testing positive and the implications that it's almost gotten to the point now, and I don't know if this makes me a bad person or if this makes us bad as sports fans, that when you hear about Nick Saban testing positive or you hear about a player testing positive and a facility being shut down, I think it's natural to think about the implications and the implications relating to what it's going to do to the games we want to watch rather than, oh my gosh, that person tested positive. Are they going to be okay?
Right.
It's not a good thing. Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, I think it's a bad thing, but I think you're not alone. I mean, I think that's kind of how, yeah, we're all kind of falling into that trap of, oh, Saban's got COVID. What's that mean for the game? Is the game going to be played? And How are they going to, you know, how has it affected the point spread for the game this week? I mean, those are the things that we're talking about. And, you know, and I think it's bad because, you know, this is still a very serious situation with deaths that are being recorded every single day. And, you know, you hate to say it, but, you know, I guess at some point, you know, will there be a coach that something tragic happens? And then suddenly we certainly change our tune on it, but you don't want to relax and act like nothing's serious because it's still a very serious situation. But I think that's how we've become. You know, you use the word desensitized, and I think that's kind of how we've become with the whole situation. We're desensitized to it a little bit, and I don't think that's a good thing because I think we need to take it very seriously still and wear masks and social distance and all that. It's unfortunate for Nick Saban because Nick Saban's been a big advocate for being safe and wearing masks and keeping your distance. And he's done everything in his power to do that around his program and this situation that he's in. So, you know, it's too bad for him. And you hope that he has a speedy recovery. And, you know, he seems fine. He seems still Nick Saban-like. I'm sure it's killing him that he can't coach the game this week, but he's going to be coaching on Zoom for their practices. And, you know, they're still hoping, I guess, that you get a couple of negatives before Saturday and he's able to be out on the field. But I don't know. I think we need to take it very seriously and it needs to still be taken seriously. And you know, hopefully this one will be fine. And hopefully this is an instance that it's fine. But I don't know. It's scary. It's scary, especially when you look at some of these coaches and you look at their ages. And, you know, the concern for me is basketball. You got basketball coming up, college basketball, and they're going to be playing in closed gyms. And you have a lot of coaches, some of the great coaches, a guy like Jim Boeheim, who's, what, I think 76 years old and as a cancer survivor, and he's just going to go out and coach. I mean, it's tough to tell him that he shouldn't. But, you know, everybody gets to make their own choice during this situation. But, you know, it's a scary situation, I think, for a lot of coaches. And I'd be shocked if you don't have a couple of coaches who decide to opt out for the season. I mean, why not? Why go through it? And if you're going to opt out for any year, this is probably the year to do it.
You know, and with all that being said, I still imagine Saban in his living room behind a podium scolding COVID and giving COVID a sternly worded press conference. I mean, you've spent all week telling our team how great they are. You're telling our team how great they are. Just scolding COVID for being too positive in the virus's coverage of Alabama. Be more like Tommy Tide from the Roll Tide Times. How does that affect the point spread, by the way? and is he the, I mean, I'm sure there are a couple other college coaches, but all things considered and what they've done, what he does seemingly at will against the number, how does it affect things? And who's the next closest guy in your opinion that could have an impact like Saban could potentially have on a number?
Well, that's a good question. It's pretty amazing. The number went from 6, which is a low number. I mean, it was 6, 6.5, wherever you were getting the game. And then the news came down about Saban, and within an hour, it was down to 4.5. I mean, the coach having...
Maybe it would have been Urban Meyer, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, I guess...
Like a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe Urban then, but... I mean, heck, look what happened when Urban was gone. What Ohio State did, all they did was win every game without him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Dabo would be a guy, but there's been no coach.
Former Memphis Tigers head coach Larry Porter?
Probably not. But I don't.
Dabo. Dabo, I guess. But they're always such big favorites for the most part. Right?
Then it wouldn't make that big of a difference. Yeah, I mean, for a coach to be testing positive for COVID, for the line to move 2 points is stunning.
Sounds like a quarterback being out.
And what's really amazing about it, yeah, no doubt about it. That's exactly what it's like. And what's amazing about it was Alabama was a 6-point favorite, and about 60% of the bets were still coming in on Alabama. It went down to 4.5 after Saban tested positive for COVID. And 70% of the bets are now coming in for Alabama. I mean, they're still coming in for Alabama. I mean, to me, I look at this game and I think if it's 4.5, I cannot bet against Alabama when they're only giving 4.5 points. I'd feel like an idiot. You can't. You just can't. And I don't care if it's Georgia.
It's kind of the point where if you're going to bet the game, you have to back them because I can live with that if I'm on the wrong side. But if I take the points, you know, it's either going to be the most stressful couple of hours, and guess what? You're going to end up tragically not covering, and then you're going to feel like an idiot for betting against Alabama. Right. But, you know, still do it. The action's still there. Numbers still move the way they do.
Yeah, no, it's stunning that it moved that much for a coach. And, you know, I wonder where it'll go in the next couple of days as well. And that's the thing. With all that money coming in on Alabama and the line still going in Alabama's favor, you know, that brings you to the point of what does Vegas know on this game and how it's concerned? Or is the sharp money coming in on Georgia at this point? Because the line keeps moving Alabama's favor. The money keeps coming in on Alabama from the bettors. So there's either a lot of sharp money coming in on Georgia or Vegas. Just, you know, they got that penchant to know more than we do. And this is one of those games that kind of feels that way. There are a lot of games in the SEC that kind of feel that way this week as far as the line being kind of odd or being fishy. Texas A&M and a short or small line over Mississippi State, a Mississippi State team that scored 2 points last week. You got an Arkansas-Ole Miss line that's really odd with Ole Miss being favored just by 3 over Arkansas. And Arkansas has covered all 3 games so far this season. Tennessee, a small line over Kentucky this week. Auburn, a very small line over South Carolina this week. Some very odd lines. It's a good week to stay away from SEC action.
Yeah, do you think there's anything fish to, you know, in a year where nothing is like any previous year and information is limited and guys, whether it's players or coaches at a moment's notice are out coming up with these lines. Do you think there's anything to the SEC being, you know, a parochial to some extent conference and a lot of people rooting for and betting on their teams every week? Do you think that has any influence on the numbers, or that's maybe helping the bookmakers make some money? Because at some point you just said you probably just shouldn't bet some of these games because they make no sense, and you would think that they have the most information about SEC games, but people are still going to bet them.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult, and I think, you know, we've seen this year, I think more than in years past, we've seen lines hit and hit very easily. Because there's so many times in years past where you say, boy, they were right on that one, right on the number. And it happens more often than not.
Or even like Mizzou covering against Alabama, you know, it's just like,
yeah. And some things this year just aren't making sense. And, you know, lines have been way off this year. I mean, one that really stands out to me was the Navy BYU game to start the season. Navy's favored by 3 and they lost 55-3. I mean, How big of a miss is that?
Where did that come from?
Yeah, you know, and that doesn't happen normally in Vegas. But I think, as you said, because of, you know, the limited information that people are getting out there, because of the, you know, the strange practices and not having spring ball and, you know, the strange training camp that everybody had that was different than ever before. And then the biggest thing, you take away home field advantage. I mean, how intimidating is it to go play between the Hedges and Athens, Georgia? How intimidating is it to go to Tuscaloosa? How intimidating is it to go to Texas A&M where the field is shakes sometimes and it's like it measures on the earthquake? Or to go to LSU and you don't have 70,000 drunk people throwing things at you? I mean, those intimidating factors are out the window now. And I think that makes a huge difference too. You know, in the past, you'd always talk about home field advantage gives you 3 points. Well, I don't know what it gives you now. I mean, does it give you 1? Does it give you anything at this point?
It doesn't give you Saban.
And it's right.
The 2-point Saban.
The 2-point Saban, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's been a very difficult year for the odds makers. And, you know, I think when it's all said and done, they'll figure it out. But right now, I think they're still having some trouble.
So with all that being said, before I let you go, the fun is still in trying to dig up the edge, the angle, the advantage. You come up with some incredible numbers. Again, the odds couple, Grind City Media. Do you have this week a favorite trend or number or statistic that you've dug up, regardless of the game, regardless of if you're even going to be, you know, involved in it or making a pick on it. Do you have a favorite number this week?
Well, my favorite number is in that Alabama game, but it has to do with Nick Saban. So I don't know if it actually counts this week, but everyone's heard the number. He's 21-0 against former assistant coaches on his staff. That includes Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia. He's 2-0 against Kirby. He's 21-0 against all his assistants. He has outscored his assistants on an average of 41-15 per game. But every game of those 21, 19 of those 21, he has won by at least two touchdowns. The only two he hasn't won by two touchdowns, Georgia. Kirby's the only one that's kept it under 14 points. Now, he's lost both, but he's kept it under 14 points. I still love Bama, though, at that small of a number. I got to go with Alabama in this game. I also love Tennessee this week against Kentucky. I think Tennessee this week shows whether or not they're going to have a roller coaster year or they're going to be a pretty good football team. I think they're a pretty good football team, and 5.5 against Kentucky, I think, is disrespectful. Considering Tennessee hasn't lost to Kentucky at home since 1984.
I wasn't born. I was a negative Saban, negative two. And we hear all these like, well, he doesn't run it up against his assistants, and, you know, he doesn't run it up against teams, you know, the first week of the season. Like, those become like the accepted discussion. But then when you look at the numbers, it's like, no, that's not true. Like, he just kind of whips everyone's ass.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, he's done
it without prejudice.
No, without prejudice and without trying. I mean, he goes out and whips their ass. I mean, it's pretty amazing the numbers week in and week out, the trends for Alabama and how staggering they are. And, you know, they've won 91 straight, I think it is now, against unranked opponents. I mean, that's just that's ridiculous what they've been able to do through these years with Nick Saban. And I expect it to continue against Georgia this week. Georgia hasn't looked that exceptional offensively. Bama's defense has looked bad, but I think the best thing for Bama was how bad they looked last week, that they'll come to play and be a little better. Plus, Georgia doesn't run up and down the field and go no huddle like Ole Miss does. So I think Alabama's defense will be able to settle in a little bit better this week. And Alabama's offense can score. Now, Georgia's defense might be the best in the country, but they're not going to be able to stop Alabama completely. And I just don't see Georgia scoring enough to keep up with the Tide.
Follow Rob Fisher on Twitter at The Fish Nation. You can hear him on Grind City Media, The Odds Couple. And Fish, I hope the rest of the SEC enjoys, you know, this short stint of maybe, you know, not always looking over their shoulder, because Eli Drinkwitz and them boys are coming, the Missouri Tigers, and the coach who looks like he should be working a register at a CVS. That's my guy. He's all dog, baby.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's too bad they didn't have their game this week, because that should have been another big win for Mizzou.
The poor Memphis Tigers can't figure out when or who or where they're going to play.
Yeah, they've only played two games, and it feels like forever ago. Their opener against Arkansas State was, you know, over a month ago, and then they played SMU 2 weeks ago, and then they had a bye week last week, and it's just like, I mean, how do you shake that rust off? And you know, they've played two games in 6 weeks. So, and they got a UCF team coming in this week. So it's going to be a pretty difficult task for the Tigers. So tough to catch a rhythm when you're playing every 4 weeks.
Fit, well, yeah, unless you're Randy Rosarena. I guess that would be the exception to that rule. Don't play till September. Oh, and Marcell Ozuna just homered again.
By the way, let's calm down, Cardinal Nation. Seriously, who wanted Ozuna back?
The people are upset.
Who wanted Ozuna back?
I asked Danny Mac yesterday, like, I think we can now have the discussion. Would you put a Rosarena in center between Musial and Mays, or would you put Mays in center and slide a Rosarena over to right, just because, you know, Willie obviously could give him a little cover defensively. But at some point, right, we're going to have to answer those questions.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Marcelo,
I'm sure you've never seen a Grizzlies player have a great 15-game stretch averaging 20 points, and everyone, yeah.
No kidding, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Ozuna, I'm happy for him. Good for him. He's having
man.
But who thought he was going to be a Triple Crown candidate, for crying out? Nobody.
He was statistically the worst cleanup hitter in baseball last year.
With the worst shoulder of an outfielder in baseball.
But a great neon sleeve.
But a great neon sleeve, yep. And a great selfie taker. So good for him.
speaking of great photos, you provided your own glamour shot, which will be up with this interview at scoopswithdannymack.com. I appreciate that. You know, a good carpenter always brings his own tools. You don't necessarily trust the job site.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you coming armed, coming ready. And
well,
here's to Nick Saban berating a virus in a press conference this weekend.
I've seen you show some of the glamour shots of your guests on this thing, and I just wanted to make sure that I brought it because I'd like to be ranked near the top.
Yeah, generally I like to take the pictures, you know, myself, really explore the creative space, kind of Napoleon Dynamite-esque. But, you know, until you get to St. Louis, we'll have to we'll keep that on pause, and we'll make do with the beautiful photo you sent. You look angelic,
kind of
with a halo of takes behind you.
Thank you. I got 8x10 glossies that I could sign anytime. So
sign one and send it to me.
Yeah,
thank you, buddy. You're the best.
Anytime, Chris.
Ben Heisler will give us his take on daily fantasy in the NFL and also his confidence on football moving forward with the pandemic. That's next on the Chris Raby Show on a Friday on ScoopsWithDannyMack.com. Ryan Kelly is the home loan expert online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Just 5 minutes. That's all it takes. A 5-minute loan approval is waiting for you at thehomeloanexpert.com. Ryan and his incredible staff help people save money every day, money that maybe they didn't even know they could be saving. So what are you waiting for? It's so easy. Hop on over to thehomeloanexpert.com. Learn a little bit about what Ryan and his team do every day, what they can do for you, what they do for the St. Louis community, and they are expanding into communities all over the country. Thehomeloanexpert.com. A big thanks to Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert. Chris Raby Show continues on a Friday. Hope you're having a wonderful day, getting set for a big weekend. We thank Rob Fisher for joining us, and a little more football as we now welcome in Ben Heisler from Sports Illustrated. Does a great job covering fantasy, covering wagering for Sports Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis and read him at SI.com. And let's get to the important news and notes first. Ben, you have been battling after surgery a couple of weeks ago. Has your injury report status improved over the last week? And how's that moving the lines for everything that you have in front of you, the Heisler line for the upcoming weekend, man?
Yeah, this is a very important measure, Chris. I appreciate you asking. Listen, odds makers, they've been up and down, you know, riding the Heisler wave the last week or so, trying to figure out whether or not this guy's going to be back on track, you know, whether he's going to be a go for some halfway decent NFL picks and fantasy plays on Sunday. And right now I will tell you that they're cautiously optimistic that he should be back and about moving at 100%, hopefully within the next week or so. So all is well on that department, just trying to remember to take it slow.
That's good news. That's good news. How about the NFL, man? And as we kind of get, you know, more and more news, it seems like by the day of both college football and NFL organizations dealing with positive tests of COVID, has your opinion changed or your level of confidence in the NFL and college football's ability to move forward, Ben, through the rest of their respective seasons? Or has your outlook changed at all over the last couple of weeks?
I was not particularly optimistic from the college side for a wide variety of reasons. With the NFL, to me, it didn't feel as dirty, if that makes any sense, because the NFL, these guys are still paid professionals. There were going to be protocols in place within the team's facilities, and with everything that's, you know, been going on, to me it always just felt like the college level, it just wasn't going to be a priority at all. And so I felt like from the NFL side, like they've done enough initially. But the question is that now all these different facilities are shutting down. You saw the situation with the Colts from earlier today. I'm just not sure how the NFL is going to continue to take these bye week protocols into consideration. So I think for the most part, they've done enough, but you just can't force these teams into having quick turnarounds like what we saw with Kansas City and Buffalo, trying to get, you know, multiple teams in different games in over you know, the course of 2 weeks, three games in 2 weeks. They just need to be smart and proactive about it. And frankly, you know, if the NFL decided we wanted to add sort of an extra 18th week at the end of the season to make up for some of these games so that you don't feel like you have to force the situation, I wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, we are seeing maybe COVID or unrelated to COVID injuries or circumstances that are keeping guys out. Odell Beckham was sent home with an undisclosed illness. How's Vegas handling this, Ben, with the information seemingly changing every day? I don't know how they're coming up with some of these lines, for instance, for SEC games or college football games when teams just aren't playing. Nick Saban, his absence is potentially worth 2 or 2.5 points. I mean, what's been to you the biggest thing standing out from an odds-making perspective on how Vegas is adjusting or how they're adjusting to what the public is trying to adjust to?
So, you know, I've talked to our Sports Illustrated gambling insider, Frankie Tadeo, about this. He's based in Vegas, has had some terrific opportunities to be able to you know, meet with a lot of bookmakers and discuss this very thing. And sort of the big thing that they've really tried to figure out is, you know, when a lot of the sharp bets are coming in. And so far, there's been two different trends. The first is right away, as soon as the lines open up, the, you know, from the previous week. You know, some of the look ahead bets, I suppose, it's when it's technically open, but, you know, the week before. And he's somebody that's basically been picking against the Jets against the spread all year long, and that's been a fairly effective strategy in addition to a wide variety of other components. But bets are either coming in right from the very beginning or 30 minutes before kickoff when finally more information is collected. You know, the odds makers can only do so much. There's only so many different formulas that you can arrive at to determine the potential spread and potential total. But normally, a lot of times, like in the middle of the week, lines, odds makers will adjust as the course of more sharp information and more public betting come in, and you just don't see it as consistently. It's either at the very beginning of the week where they feel like the line, based on where it should be, is wrong, or moments leading up into the game where there's clear information that has been presented that would likely change the scenario. The difference is that on the NFL side, you know, for a lot of these different coronavirus tests, you're going to get more of this information coming out before game time. With college, you know, a lot of that information is flat out hidden from the rest of the betting public. So I think that's sort of those major trends. It's beginning and very close to game time, and that's when you have to watch for a lot of that information changing.
Ben Heisler is with us from Sports Illustrated, and of course you can read everything that Ben and his team are on top of at si.com/gambling, si.com/fantasy. You know, before I bounce Heis a couple of DFS questions off you, it was crazy to watch the news that Saban would miss the game, or at least as of right now, will miss Alabama's game against Georgia. See that line instantly move 2 points. Can you think of another coach in any sport? I guess college football would be maybe the one that you could try to find one that would impact a line like that. We're talking about, like, that's the impact that a starting quarterback being out has sometimes. Insane to see what Saban did to that number.
Yeah, I think he might be on his own island. Maybe somebody like Bill Belichick, where all of a sudden it would likely be Josh McDaniels, perhaps, to go ahead and get that role. I just think the level of public confidence, even McDaniels, who, you know, is considered one of the best offensive coordinators in the sport and will likely become a head coach in due time again. I just think without Belichick on the sidelines, I think the public would tend to grossly overreact to that. Now, whether or not he's worth 2 points, I'm not entirely sure. And then from the college level, I really don't know, because Saban is sort of, again, on his own island. You know, maybe the way that Ed Orgeron was coaching last year, you could have made a potential argument, but, you know, they went ahead and lost to Missouri last week on the road. So I don't really know, Chris, if there's anybody that's sort of in their own status there that really competes to the level of either Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. And of course, it just so happens that those guys used to work together back in the Cleveland days.
Yeah, I remember Urban Meyer missing a bunch of games for various reasons, you know, with Ohio State towards the end of his tenure there, and it never seemed to have that big of an impact. And, you know, the Alabama thing is just crazy because generally I think just stay away, because if you go against them, you'll probably just end up being angry at yourself when they cover.
Right.
And if you bet them, then you're probably laying a bunch of points no matter who they're playing against. It's just, it's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, Chris, I've stayed away for the most part on college games this year. It's been normally it's one of those edges, especially on the college side, where you feel like you can get a bit of an edge. There's just less information this year really than ever before, especially with all the constant movement. And now you're getting a bunch of stadiums packed in. I mean, the just the complete and total irony of Dan Mullins over at Florida wanting 90,000 people in the swamp. And then coincidentally, the next day he gets COVID-19. Sometimes just you kind of, the world sort of works in mysterious ways, and I think it was a good indication that Florida will not be playing this week.
Ben Heisler is with us. Chiefs fans, man, they've had it rough the last couple of years. Now Le'Veon Bell joins Kansas City. How much do you see Bell joining KC whenever he gets fully integrated, Ben, shaking things up, not just in terms of his value, but in terms of the Chiefs, what it does for the rest of their personnel? What was your initial reaction, and how have you started to evaluate this move and what it means?
So my initial reaction to the Chiefs bringing on Le'Veon Bell is very much twofold. From a actual NFL perspective, it's a great move. They don't have to pay him a whole heck of a lot. He brings in a ton of experience. This is somebody that has gone into Arrowhead Stadium in the postseason and basically beaten them on his own. He knows how to play playoff football. Does he have that much left in the tank? It's still very much to be determined, because what we've seen from guys like Ryan Tannehill and Devontae Parker and several others is that the moment you leave Adam Gase, you tend to play substantially better football. And Bell's only 22 years old, and he's already been paid, and he clearly took an opportunity for probably less playing time in Kansas City to go ahead and try to chase a championship. He had opportunities in Miami and Buffalo where he likely would have gotten more carries, more volume in that offense. And he decided this was the best opportunity for me to win. The issue on the fantasy side is that it cannibalizes opportunities for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was at one point the running back six taken off the board in fantasy drafts, somebody that is in a very similar mold to Le'Veon Bell based on his ability to be really shifty at the line, go in between the tackles, be a patient runner, and conversely get plenty of targets and feel comfortable in the passing game. Where he's had some limitations this year is in short yardage situations. But then again, I don't know if that's necessarily Le'Veon Bell's forte at this point in his career. You know, he wasn't averaging a whole lot of yards per carry. He was still involved in the passing game. And I'm not necessarily sure what his role will be in Kansas City. I certainly think it makes him more fantasy valuable than he was with the New York Jets, even though his targets and his volume will probably be down at the same time, because he's in a better offense. But it's also going to come at the expense of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's still going to be the starter. I don't think Bell is coming in to go ahead and take his spot. It just makes them substantially better and more deep at the running back spot, which is clearly an integral part of Andy Reid's offense. Running backs in Andy Reid's offense, Chris, have averaged over the last 11 years, 9.5 yards per pass attempt. Like they crush it in the passing game in this offense. And so I think that's what makes Bell such a unique fit, especially with Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming in and really nobody else after him. From a fantasy level, it kind of cannibalizes the two together. But from an NFL standpoint, the Chiefs certainly improved their odds by bringing on Le'Veon Bell.
The rich get richer. Ben, you mentioned last week, and again, check out Ben Heisler at Sports Illustrated, si.com/gambling, si.com/fantasy. Just all the points that were being scored, all the totals, all the overs, that trend continued. Give us a couple of games that you're targeting and maybe some good spots for folks to start if they're looking at opportunities to stack their DFS lineups, and a good drawing board to start with before they put things together this weekend.
So if we're looking to sort of try to find that good mix of DFS and also a game maybe to target the over, not necessarily a pretty game to watch. It's one of those games that would likely be on the corner TV if we were still going to a sports bar, and not necessarily in the prime viewing spot. Detroit and Jacksonville is going to have all sorts of points. Jacksonville's been atrocious at stopping the run. The Lions have been bad in pass coverage. They've also had issues on the ground as well. And there's some solid offensive playmakers on both sides of the ball. I expect both Matthew Stafford and Gardner Minshew to have big days at the corner, at the quarterback spot. James Robinson's been a revelation in the fantasy space this year for Jacksonville. Assuming DJ Chark plays, I think he's a great stacking option with Minshew. Same thing with Laviska Shenault, the talented rookie wide receiver for them. Then the Lions, you know, it's everybody's in play. Adrian Peterson should have a field day, and he's only $4,700 on DraftKings. You can look at the fact that Kenny Golladay is back and how much his targets have gone up, sound that he's been 100% healthy. Marvin Jones, I think, is sort of that sneaky, low-ownership target play that at $5,100, he has a chance for a blow-up spot. Only three players in the NFL since 2019 have more red zone touchdowns than Marvin Jones, and he's actually outpaced his teammate in Kenny Golladay. So from a fantasy and from an over level, I think Detroit and Jacksonville is the game that I think a lot of fantasy owners should be on, because you're not going to get a ton of ownership because it's just not a sexy game, but there's going to be plenty of points scored in that matchup. As for a betting game that I'm going to be on, it's funny, we write a best bets column every week over at Sports Illustrated. It's a free column that people can find over at si.com/gambling. And for whatever reason, Chris, I find myself gravitating yet again to the Sunday night game. And you're going to have the 49ers that just got throttled, flat out throttled, beat down by the Miami Dolphins last week. It was an embarrassing loss at home. Ryan Fitzpatrick just passed the ball all over them, really exposed their defense. And conversely, Jimmy Garoppolo had been rushed back. He wasn't healthy coming off that high ankle sprain. The fact is, they're home on Sunday night needing to win this game in a very tough division. The Rams have looked solid at times, but I certainly don't think that they're any sort of dog in the AFC, in the NFC West. So I like the 49ers here. They're getting 3.5 currently at home on Sunday night in prime time. Clearly, all the efforts from the practice field and all the different reports are that they have been as locked in as they have been over the course of this season. This is a wake-up call for them, and I think they'll be ready to respond. So I'll take San Francisco +3.5 this week, especially with that hook. It feels like tremendous value on the home team in prime time.
Sports Illustrated's Ben Heisler joining us again on the program. Thank you, brother. And hey, I'll give you this one for free. Since you mentioned, you know, you might try to get that Jaguars game on at the sports bar as people are going out, I'll cut you in on this invention of mine. TV jukebox. It's like a Touch Tunes for TVs at the sports bar. You make your reservation on the app, and you control the TV. There's no haggling with the hungover bartender who, you know, looks as if you're asking her to amputate her own arm when you try to get, you know, the replay of last night's Andy Roddick Legends tennis match turned off and the football turned on. Yeah. TV jukebox.
I love it. I love it. And again, it's a win-win because then the business owner gets the patron in right from the very beginning. The reservation system works. I like that a lot. I'm fully on board.
All right. Well, yeah. See, and now we'll get the wheels turning. We'll do it through Sports Illustrated. We'll get some seed money from your employer, and we're in business.
Yes.
So don't worry about it. We'll work out all the particulars later, but glad we're on the same page.
Yes, very much so. Let's go ahead and get that initial round going.
Where will you find St. Louis's biggest Kia selection from only $217 a month? Lou Fuse Kia, the number one Kia dealer in Missouri 3 years running. Come buy your way with the new 2021 Kia Seltos LX, just $217 a month, with only $217 due at lease signing. Or take home a new 2021 Kia Sportage LX, just $249 a month, only $249 due at signing, both for 36 months. Plus, get more for your trade at Lou Fuse Kia. Get up to 25% overbook value for any trade. Or sell us your car and get a check in your hand today. Buy your way starting now. Customize your deal. Buy 100% online and we'll deliver at kia.fuse.com. Lou Fuse Kia, 15 minutes from anywhere on the import corner of Lindbergh and Olive. Claim based on January 2017 through December 2019 new Kia sales, plus tax, tag, title, dealer fees with approved credit. 10,000 miles per year, $217 and $249 due at signing. Zero security deposit. Offers are not compatible. Based on fair trade-in value minus wear and tear, mileage, and condition. Expires 10/31/20.
Another week in the books, 2 weeks down. And hope you're having a good time hanging with us at noon every day, Monday through Friday, on the Chris Raby Show. Big thanks to Rob Fisher and Ben Heisler for joining us today. Don't forget that you can check out all of our podcasts from every day at scoopswithdannymac.com, including the mailbag and another Thursday list that I did with Dan yesterday. He was in studio for the entire hour. Go to scoopswithdannymac.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. Hit the subscribe, give us a review, and hang out with us. Takes delivered daily at noon. We'll be back on Monday. Again, thanks for joining us for another week on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I'm Chris Raby. Until Monday, be nice to each other, and as always, peace.